As predictable as lobbyists stalking the marble halls, the annual debate over whether Rhode Island lawmakers should be subject to state ethics rules is simmering on Smith Hill. This has happened every year since the state Supreme Court carved out an exception for reps and senators in 2009. The lines are drawn, good government groups on one side and influential lawmakers on the other. Lawmakers fear being dragged before the State Ethics Commission on frivolous claims or for things they say during floor debates. This may have theoretical validity, but in practice it doesn't make much sense. If every mayor and town and city council member is subject to ethics oversight, why aren't lawmakers? The good government advocates, particularly Common Cause of Rhode Island, point to the need to curb State House corruption in their arguments for reinstating ethics supervision of the General Assembly. It sounds like a stellar argument, but it probably won't be any more effective than spitting into a gale force wind. In Rhode Island, rules imposed on lawmakers don't seem to stem wrongdoing. Before the High Court tossed them out, these rules didn't seem to curb corruption or such dubious practices as the nightly political fundraisers during the session. Ditto for the end-of-session flurry of hundreds of bills voted on by lawmakers who haven't read the amendments. Good government groups always promise that big improvements are in the offing if only we change the way business is done at the State House. Yet history shows us that many of these measures don't mean much. Prime example, the ballyhooed 2004 Separation of Powers Constitutional Amendment. This barred lawmakers from sitting on state boards and commissions and trimmed some legislative prerogatives. With the former House Speaker Gordon Fox serving federal prison time for bribery and many other state and local officials jammed up, can anyone say with a straight face that the Separation of Powers Amendment stopped corruption or helped bring more jobs to the state? As far as Smith Hill chicanery goes, was there really less of it when lawmakers were under the ethics laws? What no ethics rule can accomplish is removing the power of the purse from the assembly. This means lawmakers control the budgets of every state agency. That's a good thing because legislators are accountable to voters every 2 years. So if you don't like, say, the truck toll, you have a remedy. Organize and work for candidates who will oust those who voted pro-toll. House Speaker Nick Mattiello of Cranston has taken heat for the toll measure. He's been called a dictator by the Republican state chairman, which is no surprise. Republicans appear to be groping for an issue to challenge Democratic lawmakers in this fall's election. And John Marion, executive director of Common Cause, took to the Providence Journal's op-ed page last week to complain that Rhode Island House speakers have too much power. Here's a different view. Mattiello successfully took a flawed truck toll proposal from Governor Gina Raimondo and Senate President Teresa Piva-Weed of Newport and made it better. The compromise shaped by the speaker planed down the rough edges of the measure, lowered the tolls, making it less onerous for the trucking industry. Mattiello's been slammed for purging three Democrats who voted against the toll plan from high-profile committees. But the speaker needs allies to run the State House. In the end, all the fancy-sounding regulations on lawmakers don't amount to much if voters keep sending the same old back to Smith Hill. History shows that the FBI and U.S. Attorney's Office are far better at ridding our politics of crooks than ethics edicts. Politics is the art of the possible, not the practice of doing nothing. You think Rhode Island lawmakers are bad? Well, they aren't as dysfunctional as the U.S. Congress.